Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Olivia's Obscura. It is I, Olivia, thrilled to be back here sitting, talking into this goddamn microphone once again. I did take an unplanned week off last week. Basically, okay, it was so freaking hot in Southern California last weekend. Like, I actually just had to vacate my apartment because I don't have air conditioning. We have ceiling fans, a bunch of other like standing fans and window fans, but like it was simply too hot. We just could not, I could not function in my own home. So I basically like set up in hotel lobbies or went and like walked around. Like literally last weekend one night, me and Ty went and just like walked around IKEA because we were like, where can we go that's not 100 degrees? And so we got our steps in IKEA. So I didn't record early, and I just couldn't record over the weekend because the option was either that I record like with all these fans on, which would have just been like the gnarliest sound quality ever, or I turned all the fans off and existed and recorded in a literal sauna. So that's why I wasn't here last week. I meant to record late, but I honestly, okay, that brings me to my next point. Here's the thing. At this point in the year, in where I'm at with everything, I don't know if I can commit to a weekly, every week episode. I think that I can definitely manage 3 episodes a month, which I think is fine. I hope that my 11 listeners are not too devastated about that. But the thing is that I don't want to, okay, I'm really the kind of person where I'm like all or nothing. Like I'm either full throttle, like brand new full throttle, touch me while you're bros play Grand Theft Auto, or I'm like none at all. I'm either all in on something or I'm completely away from it. And I don't love that about myself. I've talked about this in therapy. Ad nauseum, actually. And so my first gut instinct when I like realized that I just with every other one of my commitments, I couldn't commit to 4 episodes a week is like, well, let's just not do the podcast anymore. And I really don't want to do that. I really think this is so fun. And it's truly something that I do for no money and like barely any listeners, you know what I mean? But I still do it because it's for me. Like I like to sit here and talk about random shit. And if I can only do that 3 times a month instead of 4, so be it. Okay. So here I'm at. If you see me not popping up on the feed certain Mondays, mind your business. Okay. I will be back the next week. I swear to God. So here I am this week. We are talking about, I have a few things. Sorry if there's a lot of weird cuts in this episode. I'm having this weird cough. I've had a cough for like the past 2 weeks and it's definitely ebbing. It's definitely leaving. I'm not coughing as much today as I have been, but I am just like, my body is really trying to expel some kind of like phlegm situation. So I'm gonna have to cut out all of the random times that I'm coughing in this episode. Sorry if it's awkward. What was I saying? Oh, there's a few things I want to talk about in this episode. Can I just say that I'm drinking the most delightful little tonic right now? It's not a tonic, it's a kombucha. I hope you liked that ASMR, my ice ASMR, but I've never had the peach synergy kombucha before. I don't know why. Maybe I've never seen it, or maybe I just never go for it because I usually go for the trilogy or the ginger, or now that it's fall, the Living in Gratitude is definitely my favorite seasonal one. I'll always opt for that. But I ran to the store this morning and they had a peach flavor and it's delicious. And I also had some tart cherry juice ice cubes that Shannon left here last night. And so I like poured the peach kombucha over the tart cherry ice cubes and it's just delicious. I think Shannon's turned me on to doing like juice ice cubes because I love a little beverage, and like that is really a way to elevate the beverage pretty much anytime. I'm really, my new thing is I ordered a couple weekends ago, me and Ty went out, and I just don't drink that much anymore. I never was a heavy drinker, but when I switched from Lexapro to Zoloft, I realized that I could just not drink really anything. Like the most I can drink is like wine, like a few glasses of wine I'm fine with. And I really only like what I do really want to drink most of the time is like a nice, crisp, cold glass of white wine. Like that's what gives me the most joy anyway. So I'm glad at least I can drink wine, but like liquor, cocktails, I really cannot do that anymore. And sometimes when I'm going to like a dive bar or just any kind of bar that's not like known for wine, like I sometimes don't want just like their canned white wine or like their house white or whatever. Like, I don't know. I go to a bar, like I kind of want to drink a cocktail, but since I haven't been able to do cocktails like for the past year and change, I've mostly been doing Diet Coke with lime, but I can only drink so many Diet Cokes before I'm literally bursting at the seams because I'm so bloated. Like it's just, I cannot just like pound back Diet Cokes. So I think I saw this on Twitter or Threads or something. Someone said they ordered a soda water with bitters and a lime. And I thought that sounded so good. So a few weeks ago, me and Ty went out, we were at a show, and I just started with that. A soda water, bitters, lime. It was so good. I've been getting it now when I go out because it's genuinely the most refreshing. It's more refreshing than regular pure water. Something about the bitters, like I love bitters. I really do love bitters, and it gives it that kind of like luxe feel. I don't know. I'm really into like a mocktail situation lately. I am going to keep the soda water with bitters and lime as my going out drink so that it feels special. Like I want that to feel like a little treat when I go out, when I go to the bar, that's my little treat. But at home, I'm definitely going to be, I think one of my goals moving forward, it's just make my beverages at home a bit more luxurious. I had a group of people over last night to write postcards to swing state voters. So that's why Shannon brought the tart cherry juice ice cubes over for that purpose and then just left them in my freezer. But it was really amazing. I signed up to write postcards to swing state voters through the Postcards to Swing States organization, which is a progressive voter organization trying to get people to turn out in swing states to vote for Democratic candidates. And I kind of panic signed up for this in the aftermath of the Trump shooting. Like, I just remember seeing all the rhetoric that weekend and like just feeling so defeated. I was just like, I was really internalizing a lot of the defeatist messaging that I was seeing online. I was seeing a lot of liberal people, leftist people being like, we are like so cooked now, like after this assassination attempt, like there's no way that he's not gonna win. And I was just like, oh my God, like I cannot sit in this feeling of being so defeated and pessimistic because that happened like early July. I was like, I cannot sit in this feeling until November. Like, it was impossible. I was just like, what can I do, like, literally right now? And so I signed up to do the postcards. They're done. The signups are closed now. They actually found enough people to write, I think, 36 million postcards. I think that's right, which is amazing. I will definitely, next election, be doing the same thing. I actually feel confident that we could write even more because we got through, there was maybe 10 of us last night, and we got through 200 postcards in like about 2 hours. And so I'm like, okay, like next time, let's go crazy. Like, let's try to do like 1,000. I think we can do it. But it was really fun. I just had some friends over. We had snacks and I set up a folding table and like some people sat on the coffee table. And the way the postcard organization does it is that they send you all these lists of names and addresses and three messages to pick from that they've like vetted and proved increase voter turnout. So it was fun. We kiki'd, we wrote some postcards, tried to do what we could to not feel like we were just helpless. And it does, it's so easy. Especially, I turn into a special kind of animal during election years. I have, ever since the 2016 election, I was 18 years old. I turned 18 in January of 2016. So the first election that I was really involved in and cognizant of and able to vote in was the 2016 fucking election. And that will, listen, anyone else out there who was 18 years old voting in the 2016 election for their first election, probably you're like, talk about something that altered your brain chemistry. You know what I mean? So like, and also I've grown up and come of age and become a voter and a citizen, whatever, like in the misinformation age and like the internet age. And I mean, it is so easy to just isolate and scroll on your phone and just feel so helpless and defeated. And like, there is nothing that you could possibly do to improve the outcomes. And that might be true. That might be true. But if you can just find, if you're kind of in a similar place, or if you ever find yourself like just feeling that way, like I literally can say that after doing like one thing where I brought together like-minded people with a similar goal and we sat in a room with each other and did something that contributes to our greater goal, like that's all we can do. You know what I mean? That's all you can do. I do feel better after doing that. I do feel like, I mean, obviously I felt so much better after Joe Biden dropped out of the race, like, and we got a new candidate. But just in general, like, I hate people who complain and bitch and moan about the state of things and don't even try to do something. You know what I mean? Like something, like in the grand scheme of things, is me and my friends sending out a few hundred postcards going to change the world? No. But at the end of the day, I do know that all of those postcards that I wrote and addressed and stamped last night are going to end up in the mailbox of a real human person who is going to read it, know that some other real person sat down and wrote it for them. And to me, that is more impactful than anything I could ever do online. It really is. And I encourage you to do the same thing or something similar, or just get people together in a way that feels productive, because change happens and feelings change and community happens when you're like in embodied presence with people. Not to be annoying, like I know that's like, that isn't like an annoying thing to say. I don't want to sound annoying, but I do think that like we aren't, I love my phone, I love Instagram, I love TikTok, I love to make content on all these platforms. I think that the most tangible and encouraging sparks of change happen when you are face to face, sitting in a room with people that believe in the same things that you do. You can get all the confirmation bias in the world from scrolling on your TikTok feed, but it's just going to make you feel more isolated from people that are different than you. When you bring that connection into real life, when you actually sit down with people, whether it's like an informal volunteer opportunity or like through an actual organization or an NGO, like when you get together and see people face to face and talk and like are in space with people who like you, the differences become so much quieter. Like you turn the volume up on what's encouraging and what makes you feel seen and understood. And it turns the volume down on all that bullshit coming from people with bad faith arguments or bad viewpoints. You know what I mean? Like, it really is, in my opinion, single-handedly the best thing you can do is get out of your fucking house and go talk to some people. I know that's like a boomer ass take. I'm really sorry. I do love my phone. I just need to say that. Like, I'm not like a throw your phone in the lake and like go out and talk to people. Like, no, trust, I will still be making TikToks till the end, till they stop me. Till they either ban TikTok or till I die, I will be making TikToks, etc. But my boomer take of the day is that, like, you guys, we have to get off our phones at sometimes and like talk to people in real life. It will make you feel so much better and not depressed. I literally promise you. Okay, that being said, the way I just spent like 15 minutes being like, guys, we need to focus on what brings us closer and makes us like, not on what makes us different. Like, with that being said, I am now going to focus on what makes me different from people, okay? Because I'm going to talk about, first of all, one of my favorite special interests, which is the parallel economy for conservatives. Like, I find it so interesting that you can basically take any product and market it in this like Trumpian way to far right wackos, and they'll be like, yes, 100%, like, this is it. Like, it's so easy. Like, there's been so many times where I've like thought of like a joke product. Like, I've just had a fleeting thought or like some kind of concept where I'm like, you know what? I could market that to conservatives and make fucking bank on it, because they will spend money on anything that has Donald Trump's face on it or likeness attached to it in a way that's really embarrassing for them. You know, like, how... it's so funny because this is like the so-called like free thinker crowd, right? These are like the quote unquote truth seekers, like the ones who are like, don't trust anything the government tells you, like, don't drink pasteurized milk. Like, you know, they do all this weird shit. But as soon as someone tries to market a product to them that is just unabashedly like conservative themed, they don't question it. They're like, take my money. And It shows, that speaks volumes. You know what I mean? That speaks volumes. So last year in the spring, so we're talking spring of 2023, this cookie shop popped up really nearby my place. And everyone, all of my friends who lived in the neighborhood were like, have you seen the new cookie shop? It's called Cookie Plug. And it basically seemed like it seemed like a crumble. Like, crumble in a different font, because it was these big, like, soft cookies. Like, crumble cookies always have that essence of, like, not being, like, baked all the way through, which personally is what I like about them. Like, I want to be flirting with salmonella when I'm eating a cookie. I don't want it to be fully cooked. Sorry, that's just my truth. I'm speaking my truth in my Calvins. So the Cookie Plug cookies were very similar, but all of this cookie shop was weed themed. It was like marijuana pot themed cookies, but they weren't edibles. They were just regular cookies. And one sec, I have to see if I can pull up the menu, because I want to be able to read off the names of the cookies. If you've been a podcast listener, I did do an episode earlier this year where I talked about like the growing epidemic, at least in my neck of the woods, at least in California, of weed themed food establishments. It's genuinely a disease, and it's always the most stupid menu items. Like, there's this bagel shop. I talked about this in the episode. I cannot remember what episode it was, but it's there. Trust me. It's like a coffee shop and a bagel, and they do bagels. And the bagels they call like pre-rolls. And it's like so annoying. It's like, you don't even roll a bagel. Like, that would make a little more sense if we were talking taquitos or burritos or wraps, but like there's nothing rolled about a bagel. Give me a fucking break. It's also just giving so much like millennial cringe. Like, I don't know. I can't stand the weed themed food establishments. Like, it's embarrassing. Get it together. Anyway, so the cookies, which I'm on Grubhub right now. If you order on Grubhub, the cookies are $6.25 each. And that's insane. Because we went to this cookie shop. I think we paid when we went, because we did go. Like, before I knew the whole shtick with them, like, we went and tried it out. They were having I think it was Memorial Day weekend. And randomly, I mean, this is where the red flags set in. The first time I ever went to Cookie Plug, I had a weird feeling about it. Because the cookies at the time were $5 each. Before tax or anything. So I don't know, maybe this is like Grubhub fees, or maybe they've just increased $1.25 in that time span. But I mean, $5 for a single cookie, like, is a lot. Like, they were big cookies, but it's definitely what Crumbl charges. Like, it's very similar, but I still think that, like, that's kind of an insane price for a single cookie. But the deal they were running at Cookie Plug over Memorial Day weekend, when me and a few of my friends went in to get cookies, was 12 cookies for $17.76. Yes, that's right. Like, the year 1776. So chew on that, I guess. But we were like, but what if we only want like 4 cookies? Like, that would be $20. And she was like, the girl at the counter was like, yes. And I was like, but if we get 12 cookies, we only pay $17? She was like, yes. And we're like, okay, like, we definitely don't need 12 of these obscenely large cookies, but it would be dumb not to do that, seeing as we were already each going to be getting one cookie, which would put us at about a $15 price point. The cookie menu is as follows. The Good Love, which is a red velvet cake cookie. The Secret Stash, which is a flavor of the month cookie, a rotating flavor. The Snooper Doodle, a thick and fat golden brown cookie with cinnamon charm. The Purple Haze. The Pixie Junkie. The Pink Elephant, the OG, which is just the chocolate chip cookie, and then the Nutty OG, which is a chocolate chip cookie with nuts in it. Oh my God, there's more. Oh my God, they have a whole keto menu. We have a keto kit, keto Calvin, keto Black Magic, keto Bart. We have the firecracker. Isn't that... Get lit without the campfire with our firecracker s'mores cookie recipe. Okay. My only frame of reference for firecrackers is when, is in Broad City, when Abby gets her wisdom teeth out and Alana makes her like the firecracker edibles and she gets fucked up and goes to Whole Foods and spends like $700 on snacks. That's like, I love that episode. That's actually maybe one of my favorite episodes of not Broad City, but television, period. So we have the firecracker. We have the Crunch Nug, chocolate chip peanut butter cookie with crunchy peanut butter chocolate and chocolate peanut butter cups. Cookies and cream, Chalk XTC, and a Bam Bam. Bam Bam. That was the one that I actually begrudgingly fucked with. It is like a Fruity Pebble cookie. I love Fruity Pebbles. Like, I thought it was really good. I did have a good time eating the Bam Bam, I will say. So most, if not all, of these are like weed strain references, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Like, I'm not that much of like a weed head. I don't know. But like Purple Haze, like the Chalk XTC, Firecracker, Black Magic, like, those are all giving weed strains, definitely. And the interesting thing, okay, so there was a bit of dissonance happening, right? Because it was all, like, weed themed, but in a way that felt very unsavory because the entire inside of the establishment, first of all, there was no seating. You got your cookies and you left, which makes sense. I guess you wouldn't want to like sit down and have like a cookie for here, if you will. A for here cookie. You want a to-go cookie. But it is just kind of cold. Like, I notice a lot of places do that now, like Starbucks and other coffee shops and thing. Like, you walk in and there's no standing tables, sitting tables, nothing. And not even that I really would even always want to sit at a table. It's more that it looks so cold and uninviting. Like, and being in, I don't know. Like, it's just a restaurant with no seating is kind of sad. Like, it's sad to be in, but no seating, the entire, all of the walls as far back as I could see, like into the employee area, were graffiti themed, I guess. Like graffiti, like it was reminiscent of the graffiti style of artwork. So I felt, I don't know, everything about it I was feeling weird about, because in my gut from the beginning, I just knew in my heart, in my soul, that whoever owned this shop or started the company or whatever was a poser. It was giving poser. It was not giving genuine, which left bad taste in my mouth, obviously, because it was like this weed themed, like hip hop themed cookie place, and none of it felt authentic, which pissed me off because, like, who goes to jail for marijuana possession? Black people and people of color. Who profits off of weed now that it's legal as hell and pretty much more normalized than drinking, at least in my circles? Like, that is white people. That would be white people. So there was dissonance happening, and I was like, this, something about this is weird, but I didn't know, you know, like I didn't know who owned this place. I didn't know the history behind this place. I was just going in trying to get a motherfucking cookie. But instead, a year and a half later, here I am still fascinated in such a morbid way with this franchise, because it gets so much worse. Back to just kind of like being in the shop, though, there was like the countertops looked, it was printed on the counter, like the vinyl countertops, like it looked like a bunch of stickers had been layered, but it wasn't stickers. It was like a print, a pattern. And one of the stickers right by the checkout said in like the graffiti style handwriting, "Misinformation is the virus." And I was like, oh God, like I've already given these people my fucking money for these cookies, but I will not be returning, because that is what tipped me off right there. I was like, these are far right conspiracy weirdos. That was all I needed to see. So basically, that ends my personal relationship with Cookie Plug. After I kind of picked up on those vibes, I was like, they won't be getting my business anymore. And also the cookies weren't like, they just weren't that good. So I was like, well, I'm just gonna move through my life as though Cookie Plug doesn't exist. It has no real bearing on me. Flash forward to this year, this present summer of 2024, and my dear personal friend Montana says, have you heard about Freedom Bowls? And I was like, what? Like, no, I haven't heard about Freedom Bowls. What are you talking about? And she's like, it's the people who did Cookie Plug. They now have this new acai bowl franchise that is basically pandering to MAGA people. And I'm like, okay, sit down. I need to deep dive the fuck out of this. So Montana had been looking at the Cookie Plug Instagram, because I don't know why we had been talking about that, which then led her to the Freedom Bowls Instagram. And a little timeline for you guys. Cookie Plug was started by a guy named Eric Martinez. He is from Riverside, California. So that should say enough. No, I'm kidding. No, no Riverside shade. I don't know. I actually have nothing against Riverside. It's just that people in California like to make fun of it. So I just wanted to bandwagon. I'm really sorry. I really respect Riverside, except I don't respect Eric Martinez. He founded it in 2019. And that's when the first one opened in Riverside, in May of that year. And then he started franchising it in June of 2022. And I think they mostly were franchised in and around LA and LA County. And then last spring, like last March or April or May or whatever, 2023, is when the one came to San Diego near where I live. Now, Cookie Plug started to catch a little bit of heat this past spring when they opened up their first franchise in Indianapolis, and people in Indianapolis were like, what the fuck? Like, you're definitely appropriating Black culture, which absolutely is the truth, because Eric Martinez is not a Black man, yet here he is using phrases like purple drank, which is what he was calling like whatever drink they served, like signature drink. And apparently one of the phrases that they used in the store marketing, which I didn't see at our location, but I guess is used in some of the verbiage, is, quote, giving you a taste that's straight out of the hood, end quote. So just like generally unsavory stuff. And people were rightfully like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is not really cool. I'm reading from an article in blackindielive.com. The article is titled Colonizer Cookies, Cookie Plug Grand Opening Sparks Backlash and Cultural Appropriation Accusations in Indianapolis. The Indianapolis launch took a wrong turn when a franchise representative went on the Fox 59 platform to promote the new store. The middle-aged white woman representing the Cookie Plug used what many described as cringy urban dialect. She claimed to be a 90s baby while appearing significantly older than someone who was a child in the 90s. Her awkward attempts to use hip lingo came off as forced and uncomfortable. The promotion was the majority of indie residents' first exposure to the brand, and it left a bad taste in many of their mouths. From that point on, Indianapolis residents have continued to point out several problematic aspects of the franchise: the appropriation and misuse of Black culture, the glorification of prominent Black artists being imprisoned, as seen by the murals of famous musicians with mugshots on the decor of the building. Residents also, that's crazy. First of all, I'm obviously certain that the appearance and decor varies location to location and region to region. But I did not see, I don't remember seeing like portraits of Black artists that have been imprisoned in the location I went to. Residents also angrily pointed out a Police Week 50% off promotion for officers being advertised by the franchise, noting the hypocrisy of openly courting police officers to an establishment while pushing language and imagery of crimes that have caused a disproportionate amount of people, Black people, to be arrested for, particularly marijuana possession. Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. I'll link this article in the show notes because it was good information for me in understanding the downfall of Cookie Plug. Further down in the article, it says, Cookie Plug is no stranger to controversy. They faced community outrage and protests in Texas in 2023 over their product, Better Than Your Mammy's Banana Pudding, which one Killian resident says was associated with a slave caricature, a mammy caricature of a heavyset, dark-skinned Black woman who is supposedly happy to be a slave and in service. It just perpetuates the stereotype that Black people were happy being slaves. Yeah, that is pretty darn illuminating. The backlash against the Indianapolis Cookie Plug store highlights broader issues of cultural appropriation and insensitivity of marketing. Yeah, 100%. The current sentiment in Indianapolis is a clear call for accountability and also a call to action to support local Black-owned dessert shops and bakeries. 100%. Please, instead of going to fucking Cookie Plug, please go support a local Black-owned dessert shop and bakery. I beg. So this seems to be the catalyst for the downfall of the Cookie Plug brand. I just don't think that Mr. Eric Martinez could keep this jig up. So he did the logical thing and just created a different establishment that does fully pander to MAGA conservatives. Enter Freedom Bowls. Acai Bowl Place, I switched articles. I'm now going to be reading from a Rolling Stone article. I mean, it's pretty crazy that a Southern California MAGA acai shop got a Rolling Stone article written about them. Like, how humiliating, you know what I mean? Earlier, I think in February of this year, 2024, they opened their first Freedom Bowls location in Lake Elsinore. I don't even know where the hell that is. I think it's, if I had to guess, it's somewhere between where I am right now and Los Angeles. Probably east. I don't know. Let me check. Actually, now I'm curious. Where is Lake Elsinore? I don't know these random cities in California because I didn't grow up here. Like, I don't know where the fuck this is. Oh, it's a city in Western Riverside County. Okay, so it seems like it's near Temecula, kind of. Is that true? Did I make that up? Yeah, it's like a little, it's right north of Murrieta and kind of just west of Menifee, if that's ringing true for anybody. So that's where they debuted Freedom Bowls. And the beginning of this Rolling Stone article from Miles Klee, who I think did a pretty good job on this article. I'll also link it in the show notes. Miles writes, "On Thursday, I drove east from my liberal bubble in Los Angeles towards the vast metropolitan patchwork known as the Inland Empire, a region as divided as any when it comes to our culture wars. Freedom Bowls had, at the beginning of the month, opened its second location in Redlands, a city that went for Biden in the 2020 election, with Trump losing by 9 points. The brand debuted with the store to the south in Lake Elsinore weeks earlier, drawing both strongly positive and intensely critical Yelp reviews. Quote, let me start off by saying that I love what this company stands for. However, they have a ton of work to do to be successful, wrote one customer who rattled off a list of complaints about the service and cleanliness of the store. Others wrote 5-star raves praising the food and, of course, the vibe. The article continues, the unusual restaurant is the brainchild of entrepreneur Eric Martinez, better known as the founder of Cookie Plug, a hip-hop themed bakery chain that has stores nationwide, and last year landed rapper LL Cool J as a partner, leading a major expansion. Random, am I right? It currently supplies cookies to the acai stores, and in fact, the Freedom Bowls in Redlands was formerly a Cookie Plug. This seems to be the case for a lot of the Freedom Bowls locations, as far as I'm concerned. But Martinez, who had a long history in retail before striking out on his own, has chosen a much different model for his latest venture. I just feel like the country is at a crossroads, Martinez tells Rolling Stone. There's so much division that the media puts out, but in reality, everyone's cool with each other. Is that true? I feel like that is the musing of someone who is so painfully unaware that everybody hates him. I don't know. He sees Freedom Bowls as not merely an idea with viral potential, noting how quickly their Instagram account has grown, but an attempt to, quote, get the country back on track with the kind of national identity and flag-waving patriotism he remembers seeing after 9/11. Trump, to his mind, is almost incidental in this equation, though he certainly prefers the former president to Biden and plans to vote for him in November. RFK Jr. also meets with his approval. Okay, that is fork found in kitchen situation. Of course, this fucking guy is an RFK Jr. head. Okay, so basically Miles, who's writing the article, goes to the Redlands location around Lifetime, says that he saw like a bunch of yoga moms like walking out, like nothing that would make them seem like obviously MAGA people or Trump supporters. But the front door had an anti-snowflake decal on it, which is so stupid. Oh my God, you have to laugh at these people because they're so dumb. And another with an image of a pistol that read, constitutionally carried weapons are welcome here. Okay, dorks. Once inside, I came face to face with a larger-than-life Trump meme, the kind you might see on your Facebook feed, pointing directly at me. And we have to talk about this. The visuals are necessary for this because you can't possibly imagine what this looks like without seeing it with your own two eyeballs. Like, it is the biggest, scariest black and white painting, floor to ceiling, taking up an entire section of wall, of Donald Trump pointing at the camera like Uncle Sam, I want you style. Like, it is genuinely so insane. Please peep the Instagram for a look at that monstrosity eyesore. He goes on to write that the entire vertical surface area of the modest space was plastered with American flags, bald eagles, and at least one fake Thomas Jefferson quote. Let me see, what quote do we think it is? Not this link directing me to gizmodo.com. Okay, I'm not sure what the quote in question is, but maybe we'll find out as we go. There's one whole corner of the store that has AI-generated pictures of, like, the far-right villains. You know, like, their villains. So it's, like, AI-generated portraits of Bill Gates, Gavin Newsom, AOC, Hillary Clinton, like, that whole crew. You know what I mean? And this... I'll make sure, I have to make a list, so I make sure to include all the appropriate visuals, because you can't understand how ugly and how much of an eyesore this storefront really is without seeing it. It's like an AI-generated picture of Hillary Clinton with the word treasonist written out beside her. Bill Gates written out with the word globalist. Who's that? I think that might be Justin Trudeau, but I'm not sure. They have him labeled as a communist, whoever it is. And then there's some guy I can't recognize. I'm not sure who he's supposed to be, but he's sitting in a room full of money, AI generated, of course, and his label is money launderer. And then we get down to an AI generated picture of AOC holding a communist flag with the tagline, dumb AF. So yeah, obviously they sell tacky, pandery merch. One t-shirt has a picture of a rifle and says red, white, and pew, 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 which I have no words for that. And another one says the Second Amendment is basically America's vaccine for communism. I'm just gonna sit with that one for a second and think about how I got here. Okay, I'm looking at a picture that someone, I took it from the San Diego subreddit. Someone had taken a picture of what looks like the inside of like an abandoned defunct Freedom Bowls. So I actually don't know, like, this business may also be like in the shitter now. We'll find out, I guess, but behind the counter, there's this giant mural of fighter jets, six fighter jets flying, and it reads, freedom isn't free. They want you fat, become fit. They want you sick, be healthy. This is long, okay? This takes up, once again, the entire wall, floor to ceiling. They want you broke, build wealth. They want you silent, speak up. They want you apathetic, care. They want you stupid, learn. They want you unskilled, acquire real skills. They want you to hate each other, love and help each other. They want you to need them, take pride in not needing them. They want you to give up, never give up. I'm obsessed with who's they, you know what I mean? Like, who's this non-binary person with they them pronouns who's telling you all this shit? That doesn't sound like a very good friend. I think you need to break up with them. Because who's they? Honor those that came before you and inspire those coming after you with the life you build. It's a duty, an American duty. Personal excellence is the ultimate rebellion. You are 100% in control of what needs to happen to restore greatness to the country. Always have been. And that quote, or passage, I should say, is attributed to an Andy Frizzella. And I hate to say it, maybe I'm dumb, but I have never heard that name in my life. I'm going to Google him right now because we need to figure out who this is. Okay, so some kind of self-help grifter. He has a podcast called Real AF with Andy Frizzella, which is really all I need to know. Oh my God, this is the motherfucker who created 75 Hard. Okay, so yeah, he's just like a self-help, motivational charlatan, it seems. He invests or owns all of these supplement stores and nutrition products and media conglomerate. Like, I don't fucking know. He's one of those guys that, like, is a vague entrepreneur, I guess, who tells other people how they should also be rich and muscly and that they have no excuse because if he can do it, then everyone can do it. Interesting. I did not know that they were quoting the creator of 75 Hard on their menu panel. That's kind of crazy. Anyway, I'm trying to pull up a menu because that one is too blurry and I want to be able to read out the names of these bowls for you because they are hysterical. They have the Freedom Bowl, the Founders Bowl. They have the George Washington, the Thomas Jefferson, the James Madison, the Benjamin Franklin, which is overnight oats. And then they have the John Jay, which is not an acai base, but a dragon fruit base. And then they also offer something called Freedom Juice, which is described as a refreshing beverage available in green tea, lemonade, peach, or dragon fruit flavors. They have a Freedom Slush. I'm not super sure what that is. Maybe it's just like a slushy version of the Freedom Juice, if I had to take an educated guess. Do they not have like their own Freedom Bowl website? Like, why is it just directing me to DoorDash all the time? No, they do. Okay, here we go. Bigfreedombowls.com. The homepage reads, Freedom Bowls redefines on-the-go dining with a revolutionary approach to healthy and delicious superfood fruit bowls. And I need you all to know that every first letter in that sentence is bigger than all the other letters. Like Taylor Swift, how she used to do in her early album liner notes. Like, it looks like they're trying to give me an Easter egg, but it's not one. Now, it's interesting because while the logo for Freedom Bowls does have a American flag built into it, the two E's in Freedom are designed to look like an American flag, and the inside of the stores are obviously decked out in MAGA imagery, it's interesting that the website really doesn't have any kind of overt like MAGA vibes about it. Like, it's red, white, and blue, I guess, but it shows like acai bowls next to palm fronds. It shows top down shots of the bowls, like with granola and nut butter. It has close up pictures of like shredded coconut and kiwi and blueberries, and all kind of considering the website is very inconspicuous about how like far right their whole shtick is, which is interesting. If we go to the about section, it says, welcome to Freedom Bowls, where nutritious fast food meets freedom. And it's like, dude, like, why are these people so obsessed with freedom? Like, I get it as a concept, but like, why do you need your fucking acai bowl to reflect how free you are in America? It's kind of silly, no? At Freedom Bowls, our values are reflected in every aspect of our business. We celebrate freedom, encouraging individuals to make independent and thoughtful choices about what they consume. We believe in optimal health, and our acai bowls are a testament to this commitment, offering a delicious and nutritious option for those who prioritize well-being with nutritious fast food. Okay, this kind of grift is just so tired. Like, it's almost the conflation of like clean eating and far right politics. Like, that Venn diagram overlaps in a really serious way that I'm just kind of like, how are people not like seeing through this, you know? Like, 'cause to me it feels this is so obviously pandering towards the specific group of people. And if they pride themselves on being free and making independent choices for themselves, why is it so fucking easy for them to just buy whatever pandery, conservative, or Christian product is marketed to them? Like, why is, if you really are such an independent free thinker who values freedom so much, like, wouldn't you be able to look at this and be able to see that it's just a money grab, a disingenuous money grab? Like, I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm in the locations section of their website now, and it does appear that there are only 3 Freedom Bowls locations. I don't know if there were ever more of them or if there's always only been 3. There's one that was linked as Miramar, California, but when I click on the link, it takes me to Yelp.com where it says that Yelpers report this location has closed. So the San Diego Miramar location appears to be defunct. Like, that's the picture that I was looking at that someone had taken on the San Diego sub. But there's 2 other locations that, as far as I'm concerned, are operational in Lake Elsinore and the first location in Redlands. So I don't know. I just find they have an email. Should I email them? Should I write, hey, what's going on? What's going on with you guys? You okay? Back to the Rolling Stone feature now. This part of the article is when the author is conversing with Eric Martinez himself. And the author of the article points out to him that the chain is part of a trend of small companies flaunting their conservative colors in response to corporate neoliberalism. Even while agreeing on this, Martinez says this phenomenon is actually about how people want to, quote, support authentic businesses, regardless of their differing opinions, and that, quote, when I patronize a business, I don't have to agree 100% with everything that business does, end quote. This philosophy, of course, runs entirely counter to the parallel economy movement, one based on a strict alignment of values between customer and brand. Yeah, so, like, this guy, Eric Martinez, doesn't know anything. Like, he doesn't know what the fuck he stands for. He's gonna sit here and say that he's, like, created this, like, safe place for Trump supporters to go and, like, be in person together and get their bowls together. But also he's saying that he doesn't have to agree 100% with everything a business does. That's only the case when he's pointing it out about people who don't want to support his business. He's not talking about he probably won't drink Bud Light after they gave a personalized can to a trans influencer. He's not talking about that. He's talking about leftists and liberals who won't support his business. It doesn't go the other way for him. The final paragraph of the article reads, could it be then that the internal justifications for Freedom Bowls are secondary to the novelty? Cookie Plug took off thanks to TikTok buzz, with Martinez proving himself adept at translating a unique aesthetic into sales, and he already has plans to open another acai store in the San Diego area, followed by a food truck. The blitz on social media and on the ground is a Trumpian strategy, promising victory through sheer momentum. Interesting take. I feel like that's very astute. At the end of the day, Martinez sounds less interested in converting others to the Donald's cause than positioning himself as a mogul in his own right. I don't want passive income, he wrote on LinkedIn last year. I want a fucking empire. End quote. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a little trip down Eric Martinez's LinkedIn, because I was scrolling through this the other night and whoa, baby. I can't believe people like this write this kind of stuff on the internet. So Eric Martinez, funny enough, does not have a profile picture, which feels, whenever someone doesn't have a profile picture, that feels like you're hiding. Feels like you're hiding something, right? Like, whenever the nastiest, most hateful, vile, threatening comments I get in my TikTok comment section are from the nameless, faceless, no profile picture users, right? Okay, so you're gonna get on here and talk smack and you're not even gonna have a picture of your face attached to it? Interesting. So Eric Martinez, no profile picture. He does have a banner and it's a banner of the cookie plug graffiti aesthetic. His LinkedIn description is bad employee, actually unemployable, period. So moving forward with that, he actually hasn't posted in a while. It looks like the last thing was a repost from 2 months ago, and a grand opening, a cookie plug grand opening in North Carolina from 2 months ago as well. Mostly what he posts is cookie plug opening videos of him like panning down the line of people waiting to get in, which I don't know how, like the one I'm watching right now of the line of people waiting to get into the fucking cookie plug, I'm like, did you have to pay these people to wait in line? Like, it's a lot of people. It's genuinely a bigger crowd than I would have thought you would turn out. But hey, maybe the joke's on me, because the caption for this video is, other cookies are whack, ours smack. The lines prove it. He told me, I guess. You know what I mean? He told me. Yeah, from 1 year ago, I don't want passive income. I want a fucking empire. But fucking is censored. He'd put a asterisk where the U would be. Classy, classy. Where's the... Here. This was the one I was thinking of. This is from a year ago. Embarrassing. Yesterday, I checked out other social media pages for several of the other big cookie companies. No mention of Memorial Day. Let me guess, being patriotic is being political. Failing to acknowledge the reason that we all have the opportunity to build a business is because of the freedoms given to us by this country. Pro-America, pro-freedom, every day. And then a tacky picture of the cookie plug logo with an American flag overlaid. Classy. The following post. The only reason we have this opportunity is because of our freedom. Stand for it every day. It's like a broken fucking record, dude. It's like a broken record. Like, yeah, we get it. Wait, this is a picture of the location that is near me. This is my cookie plug location that he took a picture of. The logo of this franchise, like, it's always the same logo, but it seems that like the logos can be different colors, like based on what, like the signage, I guess, not the logo, the store sign. Ours is like American flag colors. And I don't think all of them are, but he has a picture of our American flag cookie plug sign. And the caption is, badass American company, companies that go woke, go broke. All those other cookie companies out there pushing their woke agendas, virtue signaling all over the internet. Meanwhile, over here at The Plug, we focused on being a badass, pro-America, pro-freedom company. I am dying to know what woke agenda the other cookie companies are trying to push. Like, I really, like, is, I need to know, like, I don't think that, like, Crumble Cookie, for example, is a beacon of, you know, progressive values. Like, that's not their vibe. You know what I mean? Like, they don't cloak their entire identity in politics the way that this guy does. So I don't fucking know. How do you know that they have a woke agenda that they're pushing? It's not obvious to me. Oh my God, he opened a location in Puerto Rico. Okay. Damn, for a while last year, he was opening a bunch of fucking franchises. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, for a minute here, last year in 2023, Cookie Plug was popping off. Okay, here we go. This is a little story that he wrote. Bad advice from my boss while working in corporate America, part two. Fake it till you make it. In a nutshell, they were telling me to not be me. That it was more important to be accepted than it was to be my true self. That is why people are miserable at their jobs. They buy into the bullshit that they should be focused on improving their weaknesses rather than tripling down on what they are good at and doing the things that put them on fire. I've accepted who and what I am. I know what I am, and I know what I'm not. Once I figured that out, life got a whole lot better and success seemed to find me. I could never be great being what they wanted me to be, but I found greatness being me. He says, I've accepted who and what I am. I know what I am, and I know what I'm not. Once I figured that out, life got a whole lot better. Okay, that applies to him, but it does not apply to transgender people, queer people. Like, like, why is he giving advice of, like, fake it till you make it? Boo. Like, I needed to find who I was before I found success. Why does that not apply to people who are on the opposite side of the political spectrum as you?
Right. Yeah, it's because you're just a hateful bigot.
Right, right. That's it. There's another post from him that says, great brands don't please everyone. But it's funny because they put an apostrophe in brands like it's possessive, which is not. It's plural. So it's giving dumb. And then he writes, be authentic. Be okay with being, quote, canceled. Be you if they like it or not. Run to it. This is why Cookie Plug stands out. Again, with the stupid hypocritical language here. Be authentic. Be you, if they like it or not. Run to it. But only if you're going against the woke agenda. Not if you're a completely consenting adult who wants to have a transition, a gender transition, right? That's not okay. That's where we draw the line. It's all so stupid and meaningless. It's all, like, I just... MAGA conservatism is one of the craziest things to bear witness to, because I like this kind of subculture, like far-right culture, like specifically like the MAGA subculture, really came to prominence when I was like 18 years old. Like I mentioned earlier, I was 18 in 2016. To watch the way it has devolved into such chaos and stupidity over the past 8 years is so disheartening. Like, I know so many people who, like, don't talk to their parents anymore because they went from being, like, relatively normal people who maybe leaned conservative or were registered Republicans, but are now full-on indoctrinated with this Fox News brain rot. It's, like, it's caused people to, like, grieve family members because people who have this mindset can't be reasoned with. You can't have a logical conversation with them. They are not ever going to be in the position of wanting to learn and actually wanting to take in new information. They are so hell-bent on this echo chamber that they're in of other MAGA conservative freaks that, like, and I know I'm using, like, derogatory language, like I'm calling them freaks and stupid, because I really have no empathy for people who still in 2024 think this way and believe this and say it out loud publicly with their whole chest. To me, it means nothing other than that you are full of hate and contempt and no compassion, and it's your way or the highway, and you don't believe that anyone else should be able to think anything different. It's just so, I know that I'm not saying anything new here. I know I'm just echoing the same frustrations that a lot of us have had for like almost a decade now, but I think it's sad. Like, I like to sit here and goof and gaff and rag on this dumb Freedom Bowl business and whatever, and Eric Martinez's dumb LinkedIn posts, but like, it is so sad when you think about the way these people have been radicalized and indoctrinated into such a harmful community. And it is sad that, like, I think a lot of these people are, like, beyond help. They're beyond return. Like, there's no making them deconstruct all of this weird bullshit they've been stewing themselves in on Fox News and in the Tucker Carlson podcast and in their Facebook groups and Truth Social groups and whatever. Like, it's so far gone that at this point, the only thing I can do is laugh at it. You know, the only thing I can do is make fun of it, because there's no more bridging the gap with this specific group of people. There is no getting to them. There's no logic. And it's, I don't know, like, I don't really have a point to this episode. I don't really have a point to what I'm trying to say. But yeah, like, I guess I'm lucky that, like, my parents are, like, normal, rational people who, like, don't watch Fox News and, like, actually are, you know, like, tolerant, good people. But, like, I really feel for people who have, in a sense, like, lost parents or grandparents to this ideology. it's sad. Like, it shouldn't be that way. Yeah, it's just a bummer. But it's not my responsibility. It's not anyone's responsibility to, like, be tolerant of people who are intolerant about every other group of people other than themselves. This has been a conversation that I've seen a lot on TikTok lately of people who are, like, you know, just having, like, general discourse and discussions about being in community with Trump supporters. And I think his name is Horace Gold on TikTok. Basically, he's talking about how, you know, talking about how and why he continues to have a relationship despite being a gay man with his Trump supporting parents. And he was talking a lot about how he has different levels of grace and understanding towards his parents. And he's more willing to, like, look past stuff and put up with stuff from, like, his own flesh and blood and his parents, because at the end of the day, he wants them in his life. Which I think is great. Like, I think that's fine. But I also think that if you're someone who's like, I don't want them in my life because of this, because they're harmful to me, because they don't respect my identity or whatever, like, I think that's fine too. You know, it's totally an individualized experience. But I thought he had a really interesting TikTok I was watching recently where he said, like, when it comes to his when it comes to his friends and people who aren't his parents and family specifically, he has a lot less grace and understanding and, like, tolerance for being in community with them, basically because he's like, I can choose my friends and I can't choose who my family is. It was an interesting viewpoint. Definitely all I said I was gonna link so many things in the show notes. I have to make a list when I go back and edit through this, but I will link his TikTok as well in the show notes. Highly recommend checking it out. I think it was a very valuable point of view to listen to. With that, I'm going to be signing off for today. I will be back next week with a brand new episode for you. I hope you enjoyed this jaunt around Cookie Plug, Freedom Bowls, and the like. I remember at the beginning I said I was going to talk about this little kid as, like, motivational entrepreneur cringe content, but I'm going to save that for next week. And so I guess you can look forward to that, but I hope everyone has a wonderful week and take care. I will see you next time. Okay, bye.